You know, I always have the same problem. I have always have the same problems. Pulpit so big for me. It's a big problem. Okay. For me, it's a big blessing to be here this evening. And well, let me introduce myself. My name is Sylvester Narvaez, but everybody calls me Beto. So it's better for me if y'all call me Beto. And let me introduce my family. It's my wife, Magdalena, and then it's my son, Eduardo, that he's married with Dania. They have two daughters and one son. Her biggest daughter is Regina, and then is Mateo, and then is Valeria. And then is my older daughter, Dulce. Dulce is not married. And then is Elizabeth. Elizabeth knows good English. She goes to, well, she used to go to Del Rio, Texas, to school. And then Sophia. Sophia knows English, but she's afraid to talk. I don't know why. She went for 3 years, 3 años, ¿verdad? 4 years to Del Rio, Texas, and study. And, well, I praise God for the family I have. Amen. I'm not going to talk good about them because Lalo is always telling me, why you don't talk good about me when I'm your son? I say, well, I don't used to talk good about my son. I think people has to talk good about them, not me. So, but well, they are Christians, and that is a big blessing.
Amen.
And they love to serve God.
Amen.
So that's a very important thing. Okay, let me talk a little bit about me. When I was 15 years old, I start working in a factory in Mexico, the place where we are. Well, we are from Acuña, is the name of the city, the state of Coahuila. Coahuila is the border of Texas. So we live there. And when I was 15 years old, like I say, I used to work in a factory. Then Magda, my wife, that is now my wife, she started working in the same factory, and we became boyfriend and girlfriend. And then a month later, we got saved. I'm sorry. We got married. I don't know why. Okay. I'm nervous. So understand that. So few months later, about 2 months later, she got pregnant. We decided to move because she was having some health problems. We moved to her mom's home. And in that place, there was some mission work. When we moved on that week, they were having a revival. And the preacher invited me to go to the revival, and I say, no, I don't want to go. That was Monday. So I told him, Friday I will go to the revival. So he passed Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and after I came from work, I remembered that I told him that I was going to go to hear the gospel. So I start working, and when it was time to start the service, he went with me and asked me, "Are you going?" I said, "No, I'm working." He said, "I will help you so you can go." Well, okay. So, brothers, I went that night, and I got saved.
Amen.
My wife also got saved.
Amen.
And 2 weeks later, I got baptized.
Amen.
I got baptized Sunday, and Monday I start to go into seminary.
Amen.
The seminary is called Central Baptist Missionary in Acuña, Mexico, where I lived. So, I went to study, or I decided to go to the seminary because I want to learn about God. And when I went to seminary, I talked to, I don't know if you call the principal of the seminary. Well, okay, let's say the principal. I tell him, I want to be a music director because I like music. But when I was there studying, I learned something, that I was not good for music. I don't have a good ear for music. My fingers doesn't work for anything. So, I'm honest, I was afraid to say that I wanna preach because everybody knew that I was studying for a music director to play the piano. It was hard for me. So finally, 2 years later, God called me to preach, and I was afraid to tell my preacher in that moment that I want to be a preacher because maybe I have grown with some wrong ideas, but I'm a man that if I say something, I will do it. And finally I talked with him because when he started preaching, I would say, I want to be in that place. I want to be in that place. In myself, you know, I say that. So, finally I talked to him and I told him that I want to preach because I feel that God was calling me to preach. So, in that moment, I start preaching. And when I graduated from the seminary, I became the preacher of the church, the one I was born in Christ. Then after a few years being a preacher, I feel like God wants me another place, and I start a mission work. And I start the mission work, and the name of the mission work is Ephesus Missionary Baptist Mission in Acuña. And it was very hard for me, for my family, but it's something that I love to do. Then, about 15, 16 years, I start feeling that I need to move from that place. And, my responsive church, that is Bryant Baptist Church in Bryant, Arkansas, that is the pastor, Brother Mark, how can you say the third? Okay, let me spell it. THOORENTON. How do you say that?
Thornton.
Yes, sir. Okay, I can say that. My tongue has so many problems. So, when I talked to Brother Matt about this, I'm honest, I think he didn't like the idea, me to move. So when I talked to him, he didn't say anything, and I say, he didn't like it. But, I say, I will be praying, so I will be sure what is the next step. So it passed 1 year, 2 years, and I called Brother Matt and told him, Brother Matt, remember that I told you that I was feeling that I have to leave Ephesus? And he said, yes. I said, okay, I'm sure about this. So we start talking and talking and talking and talking. And first it was just Brother Matt and me and God. And I told him, don't tell the church. And then it passed maybe a year or less. I talk again to him and he said, do you want me to talk to the church? I said, yes. So now from there, the church was interested about me coming to America. And, well, I will be preaching in Van Buren. I will start next week, next Sunday, start the mission work for Hispanic people, and I want you to pray for this.
Amen.
We have 15 days here in Arkansas. The week we were in church camp, and this past week, we stay home because we got COVID, but we're free of COVID right now. We're free. So we went to some places where, well, last yesterday we went to Van Buren to meet some people and we invite them. And then in Fort Smith, we were at Walmart and we saw some people and we invite them. And I'm not saying that they will go next week to hear the gospel, but at least they got already invited to go. So I know one thing, and I'm sure of one thing is this. I'm a preacher. I like to preach the truth of God.
Amen.
And I know this. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just a man sending from God to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit will convince them to get saved.
Amen.
So I will just preach the gospel.
Amen.
And it's hard for me and for my family come to America and leaving all what we had in Mexico. We didn't have a lot of things, but it's a country, so people, and it's hard to come. Because it's different, everything is different. You know, language, I have so many problems understanding English. If you talk to me very fast, I don't understand. I need to tell you, wait, what did you say? Because I'm not good in English, but I know that I will learn English. And, well, my wife doesn't know English. These two young ladies, they know English. Dulce doesn't know English. She understands a little bit. Lalo knows, well, he understands English, but he can't talk English. So, but well, they will learn. I know they will learn.
Amen.
And I remember the first time when I start talking English, giving a report. I was talking, and I'm honest, I did not know what I was saying. I just was talking, or I say that I was talking. But I knew something, that I have to do it. And that is the reason why I'm here. And maybe you don't understand what I say, but if you have something by you, tell him what he said, and he can explain you if he understood what I said. So, well, brothers, I don't know if you have questions about the mission work that I will start next Sunday. Do you have a question, brother? Or somebody has a question? Let me tell you this. Now is the time to make questions. You're free. It's free. If we go outside, it will cost you $5. Okay, it will be the fellowship hall of Calvary? Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Calvary Missionary Baptist Church is in Almas Boulevard. Yes, okay. Uh-huh. Okay. So I will be having services there. No more questions? Okay, we'll be Sundays and Wednesdays. No more questions?
Do you have equipment other than just missionary work?
You mean another work?
Yes.
Well, right now I don't have a part-time work or a full work because, you know, it's hard to find a job. Because first, we just have one, how to say, vehicle, car. Uh-huh. And let me tell you this, I'm afraid to move that van that I'm driving. Oof, gas is, I spent $200 in a week on that monster, let's say, of gas. So, but I have to do it, you know, I have to do it. But what I know is the distance from your home or where you live to work is big distance. So it's kind of killing me, but I have to do that. I'm praying so I can get a smaller car, you know, so we can move, because moving all is, like I said, that van is terrible, you know. No more questions? Okay, if y'all don't have no questions, I will invite you to open your Bibles in 1 of John chapter 3. I don't used to do this, but I will tell Brother Isaac, can you read the three verses, 1, 2, and 3 from chapter 3 from 1 of John, please?
1 John 3:1-3.
Uh-huh.
Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because we knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Okay. Why was the reason I told Brother Isaac to read? Because I say, I'm not good at reading. I have so many trouble. But let me tell you this, you read very good.
Oh.
Okay. In this evening, brothers, I have a question. Who do you look like? And I think these are questions that Christian needs to ask in this moment. Sometimes people say, I'm a Christian. But when you start asking them what is a Christian, sometimes they don't know. When you go knocking doors and people always say, I'm saved. But if you ask them, are you sure that you're going to heaven if you die? Sometimes they say, what is that? So John is telling us in this evening that we have to be like God.
Amen.
Or Christ. And the world has a bad a bad idea what is the Christianity. And people say, well, I think that when I die, God will decide where I can go. But it's not the truth.
Amen.
The Bible says that if you die without Christ, you will go to another place that is not heaven.
Amen.
So the Bible teaches us in these verses that if you're a Christian, you have to have, you have to have an image like God. What is an image? It's something that represents you of a person. And the Bible is telling us that, or that word image is like that you have to be a copy of Christ.
Amen.
Let me tell you this. Paul said. Okay, I know that verse in Spanish, in English, it's hard me to say, but Paul said, be like me, like I'm like Christ.
Amen.
And that is, brothers, what we have to do. So we have to understand this. If you're saved, if you're a son of God, and you have a Christ that, like your bigger brother, that means that you are a son of God, and God has a plan for you.
Amen.
So when we read this, Paul is saying us that in Romans, Paul says that all who loves God is part of the plan of God. And I want to explain you this. If you're a child of God, you are a people that is in the plan of God. But if you're not a child of God, you're not saved, you're not included in that plan. So in 2 Timothy, we have this. It says, He has saved us and called us to holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed the dead and brought life and immortality to light to the gospel. So we understand that if we are saved, we are called to a holy life. And then the Bible says that if you are is saved, if you are, you have to have a holy life, that means that God reveals to Christians, to His sons, the plan He has for you. The question is this: do you know the plan of God in your life? That is a good question. We can learn that if we are included in that plan, we are part of God, and we have to know the plan that has for us. And if we know that plan, we can start working for Him.
Amen.
I remember when I was, how to say, in my childhood. I can't say little because I'm little. I'm still little. But in my childhood, I do this, or I used to do this. I always, just to have an idea, my dad and mom had 16 sons, well, girls and boys. So we were 16. It was a big family. So I'm the youngest of all my brothers, and everybody is bigger than me. I'm the shortest. I was the last. I was number 16. So when I was child, I remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my dad used to live in a ranch in Texas. And he used to go to work, and he leaves home Monday 4 a.m. and then came Saturday about 1 or 2 p.m. So when something's, when my mom needs something at home, I'm talking about little things like, for example, girls will know this, a tomato, I don't know, something that they use for the kitchen. I always was together with my mom, and sometimes she said, well, I need a tomato, where I can get one. I remember that I went to my neighbor or went to my uncle and said, hey, I need to work. I need to find money. Why? Because mom needs a tomato. Mom needs this. Or me, mom needs that. And I work, and I go to the store and buy that and give it to my mom. You know what I was doing? I always wanted to have or to be like my dad. Christians need to know that they have to be like God. And only knowing his plan in our life, we will be like God. I'm not saying that you are God or me, I'm God. No, I'm saying that if we read the Bible, we know his plan, we know what God wants for us in our life, we will work to be closer to God. And that is the most important thing of the world. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, and we know that if all things good, things God works for the good of those who love him. Amen. This is something important. We have to love God, to know his plan, and to know who we are, and we are different of the world. Amen. Bible says we have to be a light. The question is this, are we a light? Or we're just, how to say, a match? And when the Bible says to be a light, is to be like the sun. Amen. To be like the moon. Even when it's dark, if the moon comes, it will light you a little bit. Amen. That is what the Bible is saying. And Paul is saying, if you love God, you will be included in his plan. I'm sorry, if you're saved. But if you love God, you will know what is your plan or what is his plan in life. And then verse 29 says, for those God foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed, it says, to the image of his son. How important is for us to be like Christ? Brothers, we have to know this, that in this time, in this evening, we are just making an exercise when we will be in heaven. So, what is the purpose of us being on this evening in this place? The purpose is to worship God, to give glory to God, because we know that in heaven it will be forever. Every moment we'll give God the glory. So, verse 2 of chapter 3 of 1 John, it says, now we are the Son of God, do not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. Brothers, sometimes we don't realize what privilege we have. Just think about this. Who owns the world? God. And if God is with us, What did Paul say? Even the dead can destroy us. We have a big privilege being son of God. So God has to have first, the first place in our life. God has to be in our heart. God has to be in the first of everything, even in our family. Amen. That is what we have to know, because like I said, we're preparing our life to go to heaven, and God wants us to be, or we are part of Him, because God says, or John says, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, as we shall see Him as He is. Have a privilege being a Christian. Don't be ashamed of saying, I'm a Christian. Be proud what you are. Be proud because we serve the only God that is in the world. So, but we're afraid to die? I'm not afraid, because I know that if I die, I will go with Christ. Amen. I will go to my home. Amen. And that is the best, is the most important thing of the world. And then in verse 3, it says, in every man that has his hope in Him, purified himself even as he is pure. Do we have that hope that John was writing or wrote? Yes, we have the hope. So we have a privilege. And I don't care what happened in the world. I know that I will go with Christ when I die. I don't care what happened. I'm a man of God. I'm a son of God. And I have the security of my salvation, because the Bible says, and that is my hope. Who is afraid to die? Only people who are not son of God. Amen. But if you're son of God, you have that hope. And we can understand that we have to be, or we have to have the image of God. I'm not saying that when we became a Christian, we are a saint people and we don't sin. Well, we're saint, the Bible says, but that doesn't mean that we don't sin. We make sin. And God knew that. But even being a sinner, God sent His Son to die in the cross to pay the price. And now we are part of His family. That's the reason why people call us Christians. Even not knowing God's plan, they say, you are a Christian because you are different. And that is what God wants for us, to be called a Christian. Because Christ. I will finish this evening, this message. And I want to tell you this. In your work, in your school, in the place where you used to go, that people say, hey, you're different because you don't say bad words. You're different because you don't laugh for all these things that people say. Or you're different for this or for that. Brothers, we have to understand, if we are God's sons, we have to be different than everybody. Our testimony is very important to the people. You may come to this place, but at home you may be bad. That's not a testimony. Give the testimony outside, not inside. Amen. Because here, everybody is saint. Even if a man who used to smoke marijuana, to do bad things, he will seem like a saint. But only God's sons do God's will. Know His plan. And the plan of God is this. Be holy. Let the Holy Spirit be your guidance. Teach the people about Christ. And that is to be part of God's plans. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, Brother Isaac, for letting me use your pulpit. I'm honest, I wish I could have, I will have more English so I can explain better. Sorry if you don't, if you did not understood my words, I will explain you outside. No, we're fine, okay, thank you. So pray for me, pray for my family, pray for a work that will start next Sunday. I'm honest, sometimes I have so many doubts, and I say, why I came to this place? Having a different culture, I'm missing all the food in Mexico, but I have one thing in mind. I'm a man who wants to obey God's will, and God wants me here, and I will preach the gospel. So thank you, brothers. God bless you.
Opportunity to respond. If the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart tonight, we want to give you a chance to respond personally. If you are not a son or a daughter of God, you can put your faith in Christ tonight. And maybe for a lot of you here on a Sunday night, you're saved and you love the Lord and you're excited to see the work of God for the Spanish-speaking people in our area. Maybe tonight you just want to come and pray for Brother Beto, pray for his family, and pray for souls to be saved, and it's an exciting thing. I had 2 years of Spanish in high school. I can say, where's the bathroom? That's really important, but not so helpful in preaching the gospel. I'm just saying there's a great need, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you're willing to answer the call, brother, to leave your home, to leave your people, and to come here and reach others. We thank God for you. So you pray for the Beto's family as we have this verse of invitation.